Hi, my name's Chris Scott, and this interview was recorded for the UK Wine Show. For the latest news and terms and conditions, go to ukwineshow.co.uk. Hi, my name's Chris Scott, and I'm here with Andy Smith from Accolade Wines. How are you, Andy?
I'm very good, thank you.
Excellent, excellent. You're the finance director here at Accolade?
That's correct,
In the UK or internationally?
I'm the finance director for the UK and Ireland and also the mainland Europe, Middle East and Africa businesses.
Okay, so quite a big chunk of them.
Yeah, yeah.
What we're going to talk about today is a wee bit about Accolade and forecasting wine. I know it sounds crazy. I know how much I'm going to drink next week, but, well, roughly, hopefully. But for you guys, forecasting is a big issue.
Yeah, forecasting is probably the most important thing that we have to consider as a business outside of the wine. For us, having a correct forecast means that we can actually plan exactly how much wine we need to sell to our customers and how much we actually need to make as well. Therefore, we have a forecasting process, which is in effect the backbone of our business.
Before we get into that, Andy, do you want to tell us just quickly about yourself? Have you always been in wine? Have you?
No. I'm a qualified accountant, and I used to work for food businesses. So I used to work for Nestle in the UK and also Premier Foods. And I moved to Accolade Wines just over 6 years ago. And since then, I've been sort of working my way up through the ranks and now finance director of Accolade Wines.
Oh, very nice, very nice. And for people who may not quite clock exactly Accolade Wines, you're a big brand owner, you have lots of different wines. Do you want to just maybe give us a quick overview of Accolade and some of the key brands that people might be aware of?
Yes, Accolade Wines is the name of the company, and most people probably wouldn't have heard of it, but we actually are the owners of the brands of Hardy's and Kumala and Echo Falls. We've got a number of other brands we own as well in terms of, throughout the world. We mostly concentrate on the new world in terms of wine, but we also have Italian brands and we also sell some Spanish wine as well. We mostly stick to selling what I would call commercial wine. So, in the UK, the price points that we're mostly selling at are kind of £4.50, £5, £5.50. That's where our heartland is. We do have some good premium wines as well, though, and we've got some award-winning wines that are part of our portfolio. But most of our volume goes through in that kind of commercial range. On top of that, we also supply the customers with own label products as well, and we do all of our bottling down in Bristol in a big bottling plant in Avonmouth, which bottles probably about 250 million bottles a year. Of wine that we're selling throughout the UK and mainland Europe.
I think you're the biggest wine supplier in the UK, is that right?
Yes, that's correct, yeah.
Yeah, so you're massive, massive. And some of those brands, things like Ravenswood, Stoll of Chelsea, is it Stoll's?
It's Stoll's, it used to be Stoll's of Chelsea. Yeah. It got changed back to Stoll's a few years ago. Ravenswood isn't a brand that we own.
Oh, isn't it?
No, we distribute it. We used to, it belongs to Constellation, the group Constellation, which Accolade used to be a part of. The history of Accolade is that we are in effect the international arm of Constellations, which was sold to a private equity group about 3 years ago. Yep. So Constellation retained their wine business in the US, but they sold their Australian, UK and European businesses to this private equity group, which we became Accolade Wines.
Excellent, excellent. Well, let's talk about wine forecasting. You've said that you guys are more on the volume end of the spectrum. It's more where the volume of wine is sold. And you're also the biggest supplier of wine in the UK. So you must be selling a lot of bottles of wine.
Yes, we sell like a huge amount of wine. As I said, we probably sell, I think it's close to 23 million 9 litres of wine a year, and that's just in the UK and the mainland Europe. There's also another sort of 15 or 16 million sold out of Australia and New Zealand and into Asia and North America. But for us, we have to really make sure we know what we're selling, because if we're not able to forecast correctly, then we're not able to know what our customers want, and we won't have the right amount of stock to sell to them.
Let's start with forecasting. What sort of time frame do you forecast for? Is it like what are you going to ship to Tesco's next week, or is it more I'm going to buy some vineyards in 20 years' time sort of thing? Or
We tend to stick, like, our forecasting is mostly built around 3 months plus. So we would probably forecast as much as 5 years out.
That's a long time, isn't it?
It is a long time, yeah. And it's pretty difficult. Even for some premium forecasts, we're actually having to do 10 years out. So that becomes like a real task. But in terms of most of our commercial wines, we're aiming to plan to forecast for what we're going to sell in 3 months' time to, you know, for the next kind of 3 to 4 or 5 years.
And why is that time 3 months? Is there a special number for 3 months? Is it?
Yeah, well, basically that's the time it takes for us to get the wine from Australia on the ship across into Europe and then bottled at our plant in Bristol. So if we're not working to those lead times, we're not able to adjust if there is a change of forecast from a customer, because we've already actually shipped that stock. And so it's about the length of time it actually takes for it to get here.
What's the process you go through? Do you just sort of go around going, oh, I think I'm going to drink a fair bit of this week? And
no, we it's quite an in-depth process. We have basically a 5-step process which we put in place. It's called the S&OP process. It's something that's been used throughout the fast-moving consumer goods kind of companies. We used to use it at Nestle as well when I worked there, and it's a fairly standard model, and I think it's been tried and trusted and is very successful in what it's actually trying to do.
What does S&OP stand for?
It stands for sales and operations planning.
Okay.
So it's really taking the two sides. It's taking the sales side and then matching that with the operations side to actually plan the amount of goods that you require to supply to your customers.
Okay. So what's the process?
So the process is it starts off really, the very start of it is something that which we call portfolio management, and that is about trying to come up with all the various ideas that we need for new products. So that could be a new blend of wine, that could be a completely new type of new product development, it could just be a new own label supply of wine. And it starts off really with just the ideas, and we work out, what we would need to actually provide for that in terms of dry goods and also the quality of wine.
Dry goods like glasses.
Corks, capsules, and all the actual labels as well. And once we've got a more firmer idea that it's actually going to happen, it will go through a gate stage process. And once we're certain that it's going to happen, it will clear those gates and go into what we would call the live environment in terms of being able to forecast upon it. And that's where we really get started in terms of the forecasting. We have like a demand review, and really that's a kind of a multi-stage process. So the demand planning department will sit down with the sales team and try and work out exactly what that sales team are going to sell to their customers. So the sales team will use lots of different pieces of information. It could be historical information that they've had. It could also be EPOS data that we buy from the customers as well and is supplied.
That's like the
Nielsen data.
Yeah. Like cards, how many people have been shopping at Tesco's and bought wine from...
Exactly that. And they'll also look forward and work out what have they got in place for the coming future in terms of promotions and just in terms of a feature that they've got within those products.
Do you look at weather? Because that could be a massive thing. Although you never quite know when the forecasts say you're going to have a barbecue summer or a wet summer.
It does form a part, because only in sense that, like the weather, we will obviously forecast to sell more white wine and more rosé wine in the summer. We definitely have a huge big increase in those blends as we go into the summer months. And then as we come around into the winter, you'll find that the red wines will be much more prevalent in terms of our forecast. So, it does have a big impact.
I think that's more seasonal, though, as opposed to if the weather forecast is, because the Met Office often say they'll give you a 6-month forecast or a 3-month forecast. They don't put a lot of stock in it, I've noticed.
No, I don't think we don't tend to look on a short term basis in the same way that maybe a water company. I used to work in Nestle with as part of the and waters or something we sold. If a customer knows that they're going to have a really hot weekend, they will all of a sudden fill their warehouses full of water. But in terms of wine, it tends to be a bit more steady than that, and we wouldn't probably react to such short-term forecasts. And I'm not sure that you can ever really get a good forecast in the UK in terms of 6 months out. So.
Yeah, fair enough. Okay, so you've taken your information from all the sales guys.
Yep. So
you've sort of filtered out the key ones that you know are going to go ahead, and that gives you sort of a view of roughly what's going to happen?
Or? Yeah, we will then take each of those forecasts on the individual salespeople and basically add them all up so that we've got a total view of what we think we're going to sell into the future by product and by customer. And we will then take a top-down view and say, well, does that make sense? And quite often you can have a different kind of view from working bottom-up as you do top-down. That's reviewed by all the management team, and we get together at a monthly meeting and then agree how much forecast we want to put into the plan for the out years in terms of what everyone else has said.
Is that because sometimes when you do a bottom up, you end up with every decision you make looks good, but then all of a sudden you're forecasting 50% growth or something?
Yeah, what tends to happen, you know, the most common thing that happens is over forecasting, especially with the big customers. They want to make sure that they've got the amount of stock that they need, and you know they want also a little bit extra just in case, and therefore they will often over forecast maybe by 5 or 10%, and that doesn't sound like a lot, but when everybody's over forecasting by 5 or 10% and we're selling 20 million cases a year, then all of a sudden that's a million extra cases that we really don't need. So you do have to take kind of a view on some of these things and kind of say, well, actually, do we really think we're going to need all that forecast or not? Because you're right, you know, when the sum of the parts doesn't necessarily always make complete sense.
So then the management take a decision on the forecast?
That's correct,
is that
yeah.
Your and sign team it off. Or the senior management? Or how does
that's you know, my team will feed into that. And then as part of the senior management team, we will then all sit down together with the marketing, the marketing director, sales directors, and then the overall general manager, Paul Schastmer. And we will make a view. The idea of the S&OP within Accolade is very much that we are a demand-led business. The idea being that we will look to see what the consumers want, and therefore what the customers want, and we will react to that and make sure that we're supplying what is required by the market, rather than just making wine and trying to sell what we have. And so we will then put forward that demand forecast, and then it's up to the supply team to come up and work out how they're going to actually supply it.
Yeah, okay. Because Accolade does own some vineyards. Do you just go, oh gosh, we're a bit short this year, we're going to have to buy 100 hectares or 1,000 hectares, or probably more like 1 million hectares of vineyard to meet this demand?
Well, we definitely, in the first instance, have to, if we haven't got enough of the wine that we want to sell, it might be that we go out on the open market and buy it in the bulk market, would be the first thing. But if we can see a trend which is ongoing, and for example, the best example I've got of that is recently we can see that New Zealand Sauvignon Blanc is a massively popular in the UK, and therefore we could see that trend, and we went out and actually acquired some vineyards on that basis. And so yeah, it definitely would you know feed into our overall planning on a more strategic scale for the business.
Is that the end of the forecasting process then? So you give it to the supply guys and they go, thank you very much, we'll meet that? And
well, they've got quite a lot of work to do then, because they have to work out whether they've got enough wine or not. It might be that they've not got enough of the correct blends, and they might need to then go away and actually blend some wines in to make that wine available. It might mean that they need to go away into the bulk market and supply that as well. Or in fact, it might be that we've got excess stocks and they then have to sort of work out what they're going to do with those, and whether we sell them or blend them into cheaper blends. On top of that, our forecast will be taken by the bottling team down in Bristol. We have a very large bottling plant where we bottle all of our product that we ship across from Australia and South Africa and New Zealand. And they will use our forecast to work out exactly what they're going to bottle and when. And that will allow them to work out the shift patterns and how many people they need to be on the shop floor.
Yeah, is it a seasonal thing? Like, particularly the bottling guys, do they find that September, October, running up to Christmas, they're going crazy, or is it a bit too late by then?
No, very much so. It is that case. We tend to find that our biggest months of the year tend to be in November and December, but by that time we are, you know, they're working 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, just to fill the lines and get it out of the warehouse. So yeah, it's really, really busy in the Christmas months, really busy in the summer months, really busy around Easter as well. And the only times where it really dies off is kind of January, February, where people are New Year's resolutions seasons and things like that, where sort of like it drops off, and it makes, you know, that's why one of the things that makes forecasting so important. You haven't got this level line of what you're supplying to. You've got these big peaks and troughs that you're trying to manage your overall production to, because the production is has actually got an overall top level, whereas the demand actually goes above that level and below that level, and you have to sort of manage out when you're going to make it to ensure that you're making it at the right time, not too late, so that you've got enough stock, but also not too early, and that you're not holding too much stock, because obviously that costs money.
And because I was going to say, once you've bottled, you've invested a lot of money in the glass and the dry goods, as you say, and if it's just sitting in a warehouse, that's just capital down the toilet, really.
Exactly that. Yeah, I think the amount of working
capital, not literally, but
no. The working capital that we actually have as a business is probably one of the biggest investments that we have, and we obviously have to have a certain amount of working capital in terms of stock, but you don't want to hold too much, because it is just a drain on your overall resources and doesn't allow you to invest that money into other purchases and things like that to drive the business forward.
All right, Andy, I think that's everything we want to cover. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.